Hey, welcome back to the Soccer Specialist Podcast. So, Tiffany Milbritt, it might be a name some of you are familiar with, maybe more so the parents listening than some of the younger players, but Tiffany was on the 99 World Cup winning U.S. national team. She was actually the U.S. team's leading goal scorer in that World Cup. Yeah, that's right. Tiffany Milbritt, not Mia Hamm, led the U.S. in goals scored. She was an incredible finisher, maybe the best the women's program has ever seen, and seen a lot of goal scorers. And that was done in the World Cup that, of course, put not just the U.S. women's team on the map, but put the women's game on the map. Right, over 90,000 people attended that that final against China. The total attendance was something like close, like 1.1, 1.2 million people, which was a record that stood and all the way until the 2015 World Cup. So what's my point? How does this help you as a player? All right. Okay. Good point. We're going to get to that. So I want to read, this is kind of a lengthy quote, but I think it's important. It's a quote from Tiffany in an interview asking about the state of the game. And Tiffany said, being around this game as long as I have, we have this overcoaching where we've stifled the surprise element of the game. There's a lot that gets you to the point of being in a shooting position. Tiffany here, of course, that's what she was known for. She was a goal scorer. She was clinical. She's kind of talking about what happens before that. So, okay, here we go again. This is Tiffany again. I think it's secondary to what the main issue is. There's way too much overcoaching. There's way too much emphasis on passing in the attack and in the final third. There's way too much trying to restrict players and not being okay with them having a surprise element to their game to try half chances, to try surprising moments on the ball 1v1. That needs to be given back to the players. If you want an increase in goals, you want to have an increase in opportunities that players have to shoot. We need to continue to stoke the individuality, the surprise, the attacking 1v1, whether it works out or not. More times than not, it's not going to work. But the moment it does, there you go. You've just created another opportunity on goal. End of quote. And for those of you who've been listening to this podcast for a while, or you read my emails or anything like that, you know that obviously I've just discovered my soulmate in U.S. soccer. I think Tiffany is 100% dead on. The U.S. doesn't struggle because we don't understand tactics. We struggle because we are constrained by those tactics and thus too predictable. We don't have the technical foundation we need to be creative problem solvers. Even if we are creative in mind, we don't have the technical skills to execute on the solution that we've come up with. And the problem is we aren't allowed the opportunity to be creative. We aren't allowed to seek different solutions to problems. Look, soccer is one of the great things about soccer is it's a player's game. It's a creative problem-solving game. But we don't allow any of that to develop in you, the youth players. And that is our fault. That is the adults, that is the parents and the coaches who are so focused on winning and having you play like adults. So not only don't we allow you to try and solve problems, we take away options. We take away your creativity and we make you terrified to make mistakes, to take on defenders, to try something new or attempt to creative solutions to tactical problems. Instead, it's one touch, two touch. If you get the ball here, you have to pass to this player. That player has to pass to this player. And look, I can't change your coach or your team environment or the parents on the sidelines. And before delving into further a little bit and how I can help you with this, I do have to point out, look, players, I'm not letting you off the hook. You have some responsibility in this as well. you don't go out and play on your own. Obviously, I'm being general. I know some of you, I'm sure, listening to this do. In fact, maybe the majority of you do listening to this, but the typical youth player does not go out and play on their own. That's on you as a player, because that's where the freedom, that's where this lack of fear and this creativity with a willingness to try new things comes from, is being in that environment where it's okay, where that becomes more the norm than something different. When you're out with just a bunch of other soccer players playing, all bets are off. You're not doing things to please coaches. You're not doing things to please parents. You're doing things to have fun. You're experimenting with different things. You're trying new moves. You're trying different types of ways to solve problems, right? So that element is very much lacking, and I think it's crucial. I think it's really, really important for your development. So one other thing I want to get into that happened with Tiffany Milroy, which I found fascinating. I may have known this, but I forgotten that she actually left the national team for a little bit back in 2003 because she had philosophical differences with the manager at the time, which the head coach at the time, her, Tiffany, as a player, she preferred a more creative style of play. And her coach, not so much. Her coach favored a more tactical brand, which valued speed and athleticism and, unfortunately, predictability. And as Tiffany said regarding that time that she left the team, and she did come back, there was a manager change, she did come back. My philosophy about the game, for instance, is that you have players out there who really do different things. You can't ask every player to do the same thing. That's why we have amazing midfielders, defenders, forwards, and keepers. You can't ask them to be of the same mold, which I thought was fascinating. I thought is completely true, and I think it's something missing from the game. I think a lot of players perform the same role, but in different positions, if that makes sense. They get the ball in a certain spot, and they give it to a player in another spot, and it's all very predictable. So how does this help you? Of course, let's get into that. And obviously, one of the big things where all this comes from is we create an environment where players are afraid to make mistakes. Players also put that on themselves because we start competitively at such a young age, and we're all looking at wins and losses and moving teams up in competition, or a fear of moving, having to move down in competition, that players, even without a being put upon by coaches or parents, players themselves don't want to make mistakes. And I thought, let me back up a second. So I had a quote in my head, and then I don't know if it completely makes sense here, to save it for later, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. And that was from Thomas Edison. And I don't have the actual quote in front of me. This may not be word for word, but he basically said in terms of the creation of the light bulb, I think he was referring to at the time, he said, "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work," which eventually led to success. So instead of being afraid of failure, or that feeling of disappointment you get when you mess up or lose, or embarrassment when something wrong happens, you got to remember that not just soccer, but life it's a series of failures leading up to success. Soccer most certainly is a game of mistakes, more than most. And as a player, I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know all the time if parents who haven't played understand that, but go count the mistakes. Even in a professional game, count the mistakes that happen in one match, okay? And that's anything that's unsuccessful, right? That's a failure. So anytime the ball's turned over, anytime it's, you know, there's lots of mistakes. So what you need to work on doing as a player is that reframing, especially a player who's developing, right? The youth players, who I'm talking to, you need to reframe that failure as something valuable for you. It's a learning tool for your improvement. And you need to understand that you need to fail to grow and improve. So that failure is a tool for you to use to become better. Nobody is automatically great at anything without putting in the work. So, you may be a player now that can juggle 100, 200, 300, 400 times. You certainly did not do that the first time you tried juggling, right? You maybe got one, maybe two or three. If you're super amazing, maybe you got five or six your first time, but you didn't get 100 or 200 or 300. And to that point also, that failure is not permanent. Right? I mean, look, if failure was permanent, the first time you failed at something, you were never gonna improve upon it, none of us would be walking, right? Talk to your parents. They'll tell you fell down a lot when you started to learn to walk. So that failure is, it's inherent in improvement. You don't have improvement without failure. You don't have success without failure. It's part of the process for you as a player to get better. Failure, when you commit to embracing it as a tool, when you commit to actively learning from it and making adjustments in what you are doing, then it has value for you, right? Those obstacles, that failure, it's an op remember I've said before that obstacles are opportunities, right? Failure is an opportunity. So it gives you feedback. Failure is feedback. It tells you if you're listening, if you're willing to put in the time, it tells you what you need to do to get better, what you need to do to improve upon, what you need to improve upon, I guess I should say, to have success. So don't be discouraged by failure and mistakes. You got to see it as a chance to get better. As long as you're willing to analyze those mistakes, to think about those mistakes and identify the problems, not just to get upset or disappointed or angered or embarrassed when, say, you miss what you think is a really easy shot that should be a goal, and you put it over the crossbar from 5 yards out. And if you don't do that, then of course mistakes are a problem if you're not willing to learn from them. And so let me back up a second. Let me go with a mistake in a game and say, okay, go back. Let's go back to the shooting. You miss a shot that you think should be an easy goal, and you don't even make the goalie work. The keeper. Sorry, Jeff. You don't even make the keeper work for a save because you blasted it over the crossbar. So maybe after the game, you think about that shot instead of just being frustrated that you missed. Why was the mistake made? And sometimes, look, we just miss. Scoring is a very high degree of difficulty. Ask any pro, and you look at a pro, you think has a shot lined up and they blast it, 20 yards high. Just the tiniest little thing could be off. And in that area of the pitch, the speed to which the game is played, the lack of space, it doesn't take much. You could just strike the ball just a little bit off the wrong part of the foot, or you strike just a little high or a little low on the ball, and it has huge consequences. But setting that aside, what was your mistake? Was your plant foot, think about, was your plant foot in the wrong place? I know a lot of players, when they're learning to shoot, their plant foot is usually way too far back. They're not placing their plant foot in the right place. It's not far up enough. So they lose a lot of power. They don't strike with the right correct part of the foot because they're reaching too much because their plant foot's back. Or maybe you're striking with the wrong part of your foot too often. Maybe you're not locking your ankle, right? If you are willing to look at the mistakes you made and analyze them and figure out, okay, well, this is why. Maybe you're losing way too many balls out of the air, right? 50-50 balls. Is it because you're shying away? Are you not reading the flight of the ball properly, so you're mistiming your jump? Because I see this all the time at young ages, because they don't go out and take a lot of punts or big, goal kicks and work on taking them, and to the point where it bounces too. They know it's going to bounce, but they run up to it and it bounces over their head, right? How many times have you seen that? So they're not understanding the ball flight. Is that the problem that you're having? Are you afraid of the physical contact with the player from the opposing team? Are you also not understanding spin? And this goes back to what I say about learning from your mistakes and putting in the mental work to do that, because I've seen players, are doing the same thing at age 15 that they were doing at eight, where they don't read the spin of the ball, right? And it drives me crazy to see that as a coach on the sideline when I see a ball pop up in the air and I see it has like a nice side spin to it or a backspin that's gonna it's gonna hit and go away from the player, and they don't realize that. They think it's just gonna bounce and go straight up because they're not willing to learn from the mistake of it happening the first time and understanding these things. You know, as a keeper, I see a lot of keepers miss low shots, not because they didn't get there, but because it goes under their hand. And this has to do with how they're diving and how they're not getting their hand down to the ground as they're diving. They're diving with their hand, you know, a foot or two off the ground and then trying to get it down to the ball when they get to the ball. Or maybe they're pushing off the wrong foot, or maybe it's a bad read. They're not anticipating the shot correctly or quickly enough. Defenders taking bad angles. I see this all the time where a ball goes out wide to the other team, right? And you're even with them, but more in the middle of the pitch and you run straight at them, yet they're going to be going down the pitch. So you see players all the time, they start running straight at the defender and then they have to make this weird curve and now they're behind the defender instead of recognizing where the defender is with the ball and taking the straight line to where that player is going to be and meeting them there. So, and again, I see players repeat that mistake over and over again. So it goes back to failure is fine. You're going to fail a lot. But what's important is that you're learning from those failures and you're learning from those mistakes. And to go back to that fear, here's a big one. I'll make it really, really simple. Players fear passing back to the keeper. It is amazing how many games, whether it's 8 years old or 18 years old, where I see the ball never go back to the keeper. The defenders are afraid of messing that up and the other team getting an easy goal. But it's also on keepers. I don't see keepers actively calling for or getting in position for a pass back that should be a pass back and helping out their defense. You know what? Because they're afraid of a mistake as well. But you're never going to get good at it. It's just like throwing a scissors in a 1v1 situation. You're never going to get good at that pass back to the keeper and doing it at the right times and making it routine if you don't try it first and understand that you probably will mess up from time to time. You know, maybe you'll whack it out of bounds for a corner kick, or you'll hit it too softly, it'll get intercepted. That's okay though, as you're younger and as you're developing. That's the only way you're going to be good at it when you're older. So again, remember, failure is not, it's not about getting discouraged. It's about adjusting. It's about learning from those failures. It's about correcting what you're doing, understanding it, putting in the work, and wanting to improve. You know, those setbacks, those failures, those mistakes are a chance for you to look at your game and see, okay, I keep making this mistake. Why? And then what's the plan you can put in place to get better at it, right? Again, go back to the simple one. You're really struggling with punts out of the air. Are you afraid the ball's going to hurt you, right? Are you practicing, say, a chest trap or bringing it down off your thigh? Whatever it is, get a teammate, get a parent, get a coach, go out and have them punt 50 balls, 100 balls to you. And you get the practice of reading the flight of that ball and reading the bounce of that ball, taking it off your thigh, taking it off your chest. And you can start simple. They could be tossing you underhand passes in the air from 5 yards until you get comfortable, and you back up and you back up and you back up. But if you're making that mistake and you're not doing anything to correct it, you're not figuring out why you're making it, then it's a problem, right? Then you're having failure become permanent because you're never going to improve. Okay. Hopefully that makes sense. This is getting kind of long, but I do want to go to a little bit. Let me give you one more on that mistake, because individually as a player, right? Going back to the whole winning thing, and coaches using fast players to dribble. And what I mean really is kick to space and then chase it, right? Basically that pass to themselves. And players may have success that way at an early age, but they aren't learning. And this sets them up for bigger failures later on, because if that's all they can do and they're not realizing that that's just something they could take advantage of now, and they have to realize that they have to work on other ways to beat defenders, because as they get older, that's not going to work. If they don't recognize that as a problem, they're not going to be able to overcome that when they get older, because they've spent too much time skipping over the core fundamentals and just taking that illusion of success that they have at the young age because of their speed that they're not going to be able to use to succeed against better competition. And that's a mistake, right? So, all right, I'm going to leave it there. This got a lot longer than I thought. I do want to get into more specifics and solutions for you as well. So we'll talk about this in a future episode. Thanks again for listening. I really, really do appreciate it. I hope your new year is off to a fantastic start. If you get a chance, go check out Impact Soccer System. It's impactsoccerperformance.com/system. Entire year of training, 70 plus videos, I think. You can also check out the Supporters Club at thesoccerspecialist.com/supporters. You know, hit a follow on Spotify, maybe give it a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I really would appreciate that. And that is it for me. I will talk to you later.